Good morning, everyone. Morning. I wonder if how many of you can remember what I shared last time. It's about life. It seems to me I've got a theme song. So today we are going to sing the same song again and again. This time, this life I live. Okay, I was sharing about life. So let's sing this verse together. Think about your life, how you spend your life so far. This life I live is not my own, for my Redeemer paid a price. He took it to be His alone, to be His treasure and His prize. The things on earth I leave behind, to live in worship of my King. He is the right to rule my life, mine is the joy to live for Him. I died to sin upon the cross, I'm bound to Jesus in His death. The old is gone and now I must rely on Him for every breath. With every footstep that I tread, what mysteries He has in store. I cannot know what lies ahead, but know that He has gone before. It's a voice that pierced the grave, a power that rolled the stone away. A sound of life, I know I'm safe. The voice of God has called my name. So I will rise and in the air behold the glory of the King. I will not fear to meet Him there. I know my life is hid with Him. So I will rise and in the end behold the glory of the King. To meet Him then, is hid with Him. If we have a chance to think about the lyrics, which is quite fitting for all the messages I have shared so far about the life we have given, how we are redeemed, and how we relate to our God. And this life has a future. One day we are going to meet Him. So think about our life. So today I'm going to share about I have mentioned about old life. I have mentioned about our new life in Him. 2 weeks ago, no, not 2 weeks. A few weeks ago, I mentioned about we have a body life when we come to know Christ. And last time I shared, we have to dedicate our life. So this I've mentioned four. So this is the fifth time of the fifth level, I may say. Today I'm going to talk about the transformed life in Christ. So a quick revision. The old life. Think about in the past, what is the main concern in our life? It's all about me, all the enjoyment, all these goals in my life. I want to be this, I want to have that, I want to be like that. It's all about me. This is our old life. Just thinking about myself. I don't care about God. But once we come to know Christ, the new life we have, then the Holy Spirit in us calls us and help us to relate to God Himself.
So this is a God-centered life. Whenever we do something, we think of, is God going to like it? Holy Spirit is going to remind us. So this would be a God-centered life once we come to know our Lord. But not just stop at there. Once we accepted Christ, we start to enjoy a body life, a corporate life. You are no longer alone. You are part of a body. So church life is more about, not about activities, what you have done. Church life is about relationship, how we relate to one another. So when you look at the New Testament, it doesn't say, oh, you come just come to the meeting, sing songs, and listen, and learn, and that's it, Sunday finished. It's all about how to have relationship with one another, how we love one another, have fellowship with one another, care about one another, bearing with one another, comforting one another, have compassion with one another, minister to one another. All these verses from the Bible we have talked about weeks ago. Now, today, last time when I came, we shared about Romans, these two verses. But actually, today I'm going to talk about these two verses in greater detail. We talk about the dedicated life in Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. But before I read this, if I can go back here. Now imagine, this is from the book of Romans. If we think about the book of Romans, how it arranged. In the first two or three chapters, it talks about how men were in sin. Even though they know there's from creation, they know there's a creator, but they don't care about God. They want to go their own way. And then as we proceed, we can see that man justified. Talk about justification in Romans chapter 3. And they talk about not only justified, we are being sanctified. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, we follow the Holy Spirit, then our whole life would be separated for God, just to know Him, serve Him only. Separation, separated for God. This is sanctification. So a sinner, justified, sanctified. Not only sanctified in chapter 8, Romans. In Romans, it talks about glorification, glorified. So as if we can see a piece of rubbish, sinners, being cleansed, being separated for God, and being transformed into like Christ in chapter 8. So this is like a piece of junk. Gradually, after God has done a lot of things, this junk turns into something like a diamond. But chapter 8 doesn't stop at one diamond. If we go to chapter 12, suddenly, boom, it talks about body life. Not one diamond, but all these diamonds related together become, let me put it in this way, like a crown with many beautiful diamonds embedded, bonded together to make a crown. So this is a great significant step. Not only talking about one diamond, but talking about all these diamonds come together to become a crown for the king. Not only for one glorified Christian like Christ, but all these Christians come together to become a body of Christ. So from this individual become a body, there is a big, in between, there's a big step. And what is that key? From one diamond to a crown. What is that key? The key lies in this verse. So there are a few spiritual lessons involved. Once this diamond realized all this, step by step, he would fit himself together with other diamonds, become a crown. A single individual, once he knows all this, if he has gone through, learned all these spiritual lessons, he would be no longer alone. He would live in a body life. He would live in a church life. So today I'm just going into just for these two verses. So can we read it together? First, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm going to separate some red words there I want to emphasize. So we go it step by step going down. So the next one, we focus on the mercy, and then we're going to talk about the present your bodies. And then the third, we talk about living sacrifice. First of all, we talk about mercies. Why would he put the word mercy? Why not grace? What is the difference between grace and mercy? Can anyone share what they think? Grace and mercy. What's the difference? Now, I hear someone share something like this, which is fine. I find it very good. Grace is you receive something you do not deserve. You do not deserve. For example, if I ask you, if you wash my car, I'll give you $10. But after you wash my car, I say, I'm happy. I give you $50. So apart from that 10 which you earn, the 40 extra is the grace. You did not deserve it, but I give you because I'm happy, so I give you more. But what is mercy? Mercy is you do not get what you deserve. Let me put it in an example. If you break the lamp of my car, that cost me $100, okay? So instead of giving you 10, you owe me a lot. You have to pay me back by damaging my car. You owe me $200, for example. But instead of charging you $200, I let you go. Okay. So you deserve to pay you. What you deserve is you have to pay me back $200. But I say, okay, I let you go. I let you go. This is mercy. Okay. So mercy is you do not get what you deserve. You deserve to be punished. But God let us go. So talking about mercy, we can think of it's different from grace. God gave me something extra, it's grace. But I owe God a lot. But God did not charge me. God did not put me in jail. God did not put me in hell. That is mercy. So that means, why would someone want to live a body life? He realized, it's by mercy. I do not deserve. We do not deserve to be a part in church life. I don't deserve it. It's not I'm doing God a favor. It's God doing me a favor. Not only that, I'm full of gratitude. What a chance. Thank you, God, allowing me to live a body life. A gratitude involves, if we realize, it's the mercy. So someone would enter into church life because he realized, it's God's mercy. I don't deserve it. Now I can be a part in it. The second verse is present. Present means as if you are bringing up something to someone. But in this Greek word, if we put it, find it in another place, it means stand by. So you present something, it can sometimes mean stand by. So I present myself to God means you can imagine like a picture. I stand by Him. Stand with Him. like a king here with many servants standing around him, willing, ready to serve him. So if you ask, how can I be transformed? Because we are presenting ourselves to the Lord. Our life changed not because internal, but because of our relationship with Him. You see, let me say it again. Let me put it another way. How can you get suntan? By staying under the sun, isn't it? How can you be transformed to have a suntan? Because you stand under the sun, let the sun do the job. You see? So someone can change from a very individual person to live a body life because he is always stand before the Lord, like a follower following Jesus. Okay? Now in the past, imagine Peter. He is a fisherman. So whenever there are fish, he followed the fish. Oh, there are fish. So he drove the boat to, paddled the boat to where the fish were, isn't it? In the past, Peter followed the fish, the school of fish, right? But now, he doesn't follow the fish anymore. He turned around and followed Jesus. He presents himself, or put it in another way, he becomes the follower of Jesus, a relationship. So someone can change because he's a follower, he's presenting himself following the Lord. Notice the difference. So in his heart, he realized his mercy. Outwardly, he followed the Lord. The next thing, living sacrifice. When something is offered on the altar to become a living sacrifice, that means that being, that animal, is no longer, he's now separated from all other activities. So if I am a farmer, I'm a shepherd, driving all my sheep. Oh, okay, all my sheep come here, except the one is on the altar. You see, all the activities of the other sheep has no part with that one on the altar. That one is separated. The whole being is no longer involved in other activities, no longer involved in other business, is dedicated to the Lord. So living sacrifice is entirely, totally just for the Lord. You know, the battleship, they always have the name, HMS something, isn't it? HMS Sydney, HMS Brisbane. Why HMS? HMS is, usually it's Her Majesty's Service, now it's His Majesty, isn't it? His Majesty's Service. So Eunice become HMS Eunice. Why? Because once she presents herself to the Lord, she is entirely separated for all other activities. I'm not saying she can't involve in other activities, secular activities. I'm saying her whole life is being separated. Just like Peter, I go again. If, hey Peter, come, we are going to have a fisherman's party. Sorry, right now I'm HMS Peter. I'm serving my master. I'm no longer involved in this fisherman business. So he separated himself just for the Lord, a change of his purpose on earth. So imagine if someone is separated himself, he has an understanding. For now, my whole purpose is serving Christ alone, living sacrifice. Okay, now next is the reasonable service. Why would he put the word reasonable? Why not just service? We have to present ourselves as living sacrifice. Then this is the reasonable service to God. Sometimes that service, the word can in other places translated as worship. This is the way to worship. This is the way to serve Him. That means, let me put it this way. If you went to a 5-star hotel, you would expect those who are serving you won't be like as if you are going to a 1-star cafe or 1-star hotel, isn't it? When I was in Hong Kong, when I was young in high school, I went to some cheap restaurants, okay? When someone serving, bringing us, there are 5 of us, young men, went into the cafe. It's a small restaurant, something like that. You know how they carry a glass of water to us? 5 fingers deep into 5 glasses. And bring 5 glasses and put it on the table. Boom. And 5 of us sitting here. All of us, 5 of the young men look at, you like which finger? Because each finger dip in different glasses. So, okay, we don't want to drink it at all. But we can't expect much because that is a very so-called low-class, cheap restaurant. You don't expect that. So that's a reasonable service for them because they charge me that much of money. But if you went to a 5-class hotel, do you think they will serve you like that? No, they will treat you as you are king. 5-star, the class, they will dress properly because they honor their service. They know who they are serving. So if we know God is a sovereign God, we would treat Him with respect and reverence. When we serve Him, this is my great honor. I'm filled with gratitude. I will stand by your side. As if when he clicked his hand, water, immediately I'll go. So, by God's mercy, I understand mercy. This is my privilege, filled with gratitude. I'll stand by my Lord. My whole heart, whole mind, whole soul, just focus on Him. And this is the proper way, the right way, to serve the king. This is the reasonable service. Don't treat him like a common people. This is, you're serving the king. Reasonable service. Do you despise him? When God say, do this, no, I don't want to. What? Right now? No way. So how are we treating our master? Is it serving him in a reasonable service? Okay, so when we notice how great he is, when we realize how unworthy we are, you see, the heart will change. The attitude will change. You are committed, devoted to serve Him. Okay, now think about conformed to this world. Think about the ways of this world. Because many people are serving in this world. Why? What are their attitudes in serving the master of this world? People, let me ask you, when you go to work, what are you seeking? You get the money, how are you going to use the money? What are you seeking in your life? In this world, people, I can find of a few ways, people seeking happiness. When I got this, when I got the money, I'm going to buy a dream house, I build a luxury pool. I'll build a game room in my house. So people, they serve because they are looking for happiness. Once I got this, I'll be happy. Once I got that job, I'll be happy. Once I got that person, I'll be happy. If I married that person, I'll be happy. People do all many things because they want happiness. This is one way of the world. Another way of the world, people serve because of they want to. They are seeking their right. They are not serving the king, but they are whole life, they are fighting for themselves. This is my right. In America, what do they do? Abortion is my right. We can't have marijuana. This is my right. We can have guns. These are my right. Speech. I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Just do it. This is my right. So many people spend their whole life just think of obtaining, protecting themselves. This is my right. This is my land. This is my house. This is my time. You have no right. I want to live my own life. You have no say in my life. Their whole life is just thinking, defending what they have. They are fighting for their right. But if you want to serve a king, can you always defending myself? This is my right. This is my right. Oh, I won't do that. This is my right. People fighting for their rights. In this world, people seeking their dream as well. Why do they serve? They serve because after I serve you, I can have my dream house. I can have my dream car. I can have my dream girl. So they do because they have other motive in their heart. They are fighting for their dreams, not serving the king. In this world, they fight for their dream. They serve for their dream. They serve for their happiness. They are fighting for their rights. And in this world, they are fighting for benefits. If you want me to do this, how much you are going to pay me? What do I get in this? If you want me to serve you, what do I get? What do I get? What do I get? Either money, either power, either position. So people are not willing to change because it's different from their agenda in life. I want this, but the Lord tell me to do this. No, I want to have a great fishing business, but Lord asked me to let go of my fishing life and come to follow you, Lord Jesus. No. Now, because of you have a dream, imagine Peter. Oh, my happiness is catching fish. Feel so free. Having my fishing boat. This is my right. I have my dream in my fishing business. I can have earn more money. I can have a better living. If he would not let go of this, he won't come and say, okay, I'll be your follower. When Jesus said, come and follow me. No, I have my own agenda in life. I can't forsake this world. I want this world. So if you are not willing to let go of this, we are still following the world, we can't follow the master. But let me put it this way. Is it wrong for us to have happiness by saying this? Do you have to feel guilty if you have fun? Oh, I want to walk in the park. I enjoy life. Is it wrong? Do I mean you have to read Bible every minute? Keep praying every minute? No, we can still have happiness in our life. I'm not against happiness. Christian can have happiness. But think about this. When you are happy, does your happiness make others not happy? Okay, how about if everyone is happy? I'm not selfish. Every one of us here happy. So if we are in a factory, I tell you what, let us all forget about our work. Let's all have fun. Let's have party in this factory. So everyone happy. Is it good? Is it wrong to have happiness? But there's something more than happiness in life. How about the boss of the factory? How about the master? How about are we fulfilling our responsibility? What I'm saying is our life is not, happiness is not number one in our life. We can have happiness. We can have our dream, but that is not number one. Serving God is number one. So we can go have happiness. We can have hobbies. We can have sports. We can have good time. But that doesn't come to number one, the first priority in our life. Everyone is happy. Forget about our responsibility with God. Is it the right way? I don't think so. Okay, so it's not wrong to have happiness, but happiness is not the main goal in our life. Serving God, happiness will come. Someone put it this way, you don't have to chase happiness. Happiness will follow you if we follow God. Have you ever seen a dog turning around, chasing his tail? Where's happiness? Where's happiness? Where's happiness? You don't have to chase happiness. If you serve God, happiness, the tail, will follow you. If you serve God, love God, happiness will come along. But if you spend your whole life chasing happiness, it will always run away from you. I think that's a funny illustration. Now, be transformed. Last time, when we talk about be transformed, we have mentioned one thing. It's in this be metamorphosized, something like that. Metamorphosis comes from that word. The metamorphosis, remember the picture behind how the caterpillar can turn to a butterfly. It's metamorphosis. Inward transform, okay? So how does that transform take place? This word, be transformed, occurred four times in the Bible. Two times in the Mount of Transfiguration, one time in Romans, the last time is in 2 Corinthians. How does transformation occur? But we all, with open face beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. This change into the same image from glory to glory is transformed into the image of God. And how does this take place? With open face beholding the glory of the Lord. Now that means this transformation, change, is when we come before the Lord and be transformed. Just as I mentioned, how can you get suntan? By coming under the sun. How can we be changed? When we come before the Lord. So you are not changing by yourself. Like a Superman. Suddenly you decide when to change. No. This change is a relationship. This change is when you come before the Lord. If you are not following the world and come before the Lord, then this transformation take place. Now, regarding this transformation, let me put it this way. If I ask you, you want to be a better Christian? Many will say yes. Isn't it? You won't say no to me. If you want to grow in Christ, yes. But transformation always involves something. You have to let go of something and accept something. Now, let me put it this way. If I want to transform a fishing boat to a battleship in your mind, how can you transform a fishing boat to a battleship, you have to take down many irrelevant parts of the boat. If you want to be a battleship, you may take away the fishing net. You may take away some pole. You may have to reconstruct, renovate, upgrade some part of the boat. You don't need a big compartment for ice to keep the fish, because if it's a battleship, you may want to renovate to store the shell. You may want to put some guns on the battleship. You may want to put some missiles in your battleship. So transformation always refers to you have to take away something. It won't come automatically. So often we hope this renovation, this upgrade, just like watching TV, how they do the renovation. Oh, people come, boom, 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 and after 5 minutes, a new house come up. It seems when you're watching it, you don't have to pay any effort. You don't have to sweat. I have to let go of this beautiful part of my life. Boom, take away and install something new. So renovation of your home, you can realize. You have to take this. I have emotionally linked with this thing. I want to keep it for my whole life. Okay, how about I've dropped it? I discard this. No, I want this. How about I take that away? No, I want to keep it. Can I throw that away? No, I want to keep it. So nothing changed because you want to keep everything, the old thing in your house. So you can't have a new house. If you want to have a fishing boat or a battleship, you may need to change the engine. No, I want to keep my old engine. My dad gave it to me. I love this. I can't take it away. I want to keep it. So you keep. No transformation. When I come back, oh, it's the same house. What part have you done? Oh, I changed the light bulb. What? That doesn't make any difference. Transform. Yes, the light bulb transformed. But how about the other part? It's still the old house, my friend. If your life, if I ask you how much you have been transformed, well, I started this, I've done this, but I have never let go of something I think is important. Ah, no wonder. You want transformation, but you want no effort. You want transformation, no sweat, no pain, no loss. You want to remain the same. How can you be transformed? How can you be a better servant to serve the Lord? Your Christian life becomes stagnant. You are not growing because there is no transformation. You have not given up something. You have not let go something. Renewing of your mind. Once you are willing to give yourself to the Lord, then you think about it differently. If now in the Second World War, before D-Day, there was a large group of British soldiers remained in France. But the Germans are coming around them, so they have to evacuate this group of soldiers. They had to evacuate them at the place of Dunkirk or something. Do you know that, Enoch? No? Dunkirk. So in the British government, they asked, we need boats so that drive to the France and take these soldiers and take them back to Britain. So all these fishing boats take down something, change their size in order to take more soldiers in and take these soldiers back to England. Otherwise, when the Germans come, they'll kill all these British soldiers. So these boats have to take down the unnecessary part so that they can have more soldiers to come in and take the boys home. They have succeeded to take over, is it 40,000 British back to England. So all these boats, they have a purpose. they know why I have to take down each part of the old boat. They have to take down many parts in order to fit in more soldiers. As much as possible. If you leave the soldiers there, they will be killed by the Germans. So they must be willing to take down the old parts in order to fit in a better engine, stronger engine, bigger space to bring these soldiers home. So if you have this in your mind, I have dedicated my boat for this purpose, then you will be renewing of your mind. Then you will think differently. I don't need this anymore. You may look at your life in God's perspective. Are you getting yourself equipped, trained, ready to serve God? In order to serve God properly, do you plan change your life? Do you have a new purpose in your life? In the past, I want fish as a fisherman. Right now, I still want fish. I never let go. Or no, I want to be fisher of men. You used to be shy, but now in order to be fisher of men, you have to step up. You have to be bold, willing to care and talk to people. You see, because when you think, this is my job now, I need to be fisher of men. So you change, you let go of your old behavior, you let go of your old habits, you change, transformed to be a new Peter. New purpose, new goals, new plans, new steps. If you want to get something, you will make plan if you want to do it. Oh, I want to get that phone. How can I get the money? Where can I get that phone? When can I get that phone? How can I go to that shop? How can I get enough money? How can I persuade my parents to buy me that phone? Or when you have something in your mind, you will plan, looking at it differently. So if you plan to serve God, looking your whole life in God's perspective, you won't say, I want to keep this, I want to keep this, I want to keep this. No. In order to serve God, I have to let this go. In order to serve God, I have to let this go. In order to serve God, I have to let this go. Take away this tree, then I can embrace the new engine, the new part in my life. So you will be renewing your mind. In the past, you may think, oh, I want to keep, I want to keep, I want to keep. But now, I want to get rid of this so that I can serve. You think like a devoted one, or you think like a reluctant one. I don't want to give that away. I want to give this. I want my whole life to be meaningful, strong, and powerful to serve the Lord. Once we do that, then we'll experience, we will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once we have make that step forward, then we will realize how good it is to serve Him. Let me put it this way. If you, talking about that boat again, if my purpose is to save my fellow people from France back to England, I purposely took out my old engine, put in, install a new engine, empty my fishing boat so that more people can come in to sit. Then once you put the new engine in, you take away all the old, then you realize this is good. Then you will experience, now I have stronger engine. Now I can achieve my purpose. I can do the will of God. I can serve Him. You will be joyful. Wow, look at this. This engine is much better. If you are driving an old car, the old car can't climb the hill. Oh no. This is no good. You don't think it's good. But once you change to a new engine, then you realize, then you prove, this is now the engine is good. Now I can really climb the mountain to do the purpose of God. You see? So for someone who wants to serve God, dedicate their life to serve God, you will think differently. You will let go many things. And you will, let me put it this way, you will take down the irrelevant, useless part. You will install the useful part, useful engine in your life. You will no longer rely on yourself, fighting for yourself. Everything is about serving Him. Think about your life, brothers and sisters. What is your goal? Really think about it. What are you trying to achieve? When you want something, think about in the past. When you want something, how much sacrifice you have made in order to get that. Do you regret what you have let go? Oh, I want to get into uni. I have to give up a lot of time, give up a lot of things so I have the time to study in order to get to uni. When you have a goal, you let go many things, you achieve that. You make plans step by step to achieve that. You may still be making plans today to achieve something in your dreams. But let me ask you again, what is in your heart? What are you trying to have? If you ask Paul, what are you trying to achieve? Paul, the born servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, he just wants to serve God. I'm the born servant. I have presented myself, by mercy of God, I have presented myself to be His born servant. Wherever He send me, I'll go. Whatever He asks me, I'll do. I am a born servant of Jesus Christ. And who are you? I want to be nothing wrong to be a doctor. My dream is to be a doctor. My dream is to be a preacher. My dream is to be a dentist. Now, it's nothing wrong to be this, but for Paul, there is something clear in his heart. I am the born servant of Jesus Christ. He has been transformed to a new one, new Paul, and his whole life served God and his body. So may God help us to be transformed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words are wonderful. And we pray that we, when we look back in our life, show us that if we want transformation, we need to let go of many things. We pray that we are no longer struggling with you. Lord, we pray that we open our life. We pray that we present ourselves as born servant. We pray that you will transform our life. Let us think as you think. Let us look at our life in your perspective. Let us commit our life to serve you. We thank you for this time. Let these words continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name, Amen.